2018 was a big year for Marvel Entertainment and a sad one. On the upside, the company's mega hit film Black Panther was a smash at the box office and with critics.
You get to decide. You need a hero. Look in the mirror. There go your hero. What kind of king you are going to be?
Black Panther was a triumph for Marvel, but the company also lost one of its giants this year, artist Stan Lee. Lee brought the epic superhero and so many others to life in the pages of Marvel Comics. He died in November at the age of 95. Among those hit by the loss was Selwyn Sefu Hines. Sefu Hines is a screenwriter and a comic book scribe. He's also the former editor of the hip-hop magazine The Source. Selwyn Sefu Hines, you grew up in Guyana, and it sounds like as a kid, the playground of your primary school was kind of the center of your universe. What was it like?
You know, that's a great description. I mean, this is a Caribbean country in the 70s, and all of our activity was outside. You know, we didn't have video games. We watched very little TV. So you've got lunchtime and after school and a bunch of rowdy kids making as much noise as we can and trying to enjoy ourselves as much as we can. It was, you know, even through the eyes of nostalgia, it was heaven.
What role did Marvel Comics have in that kind of universe at your primary school?
Yeah, you know, it was a spark for the imagination, really. Marvel let us dream, you know. It wasn't an easy place to grow up in an easy time. The 70s in the Caribbean was marred by all kinds of political and economic challenges. And, you know, those things were not divorced from us as children. But the ability to sort of like retreat with your imagination and enact what you will through Marvel stories was just amazing for us and a great release valve.
Who were your favorite superheroes at the time?
At the time, definitely the X-Men.
Tomorrow, mankind will know that mutants exist. They'll fear us. And that fear will turn to hatred.
Not if we stop a war.
We have it in us to be the better man.
We already are.
And I think that's just a real testament to, you know, Stan Lee and Chris Claremont and everyone who played a creative role. You know, but the sort of defining DNA of the X-Men as being outcast and, you know, these characters who live on the margins, I identify with that. A lot of my peers did. So, yeah, Cyclops, Wolverine, Jean Grey, Professor X. Yeah, those are my childhood buddies.
What about local comics in Guyana? Was there a scene there, too?
You know, Guyana is a very ethnically mixed place, and the dominant populations are of African descent and Indian descent, which meant that we had sort of cultural information streaming in from multiple sources. So the U.S., the U.K., and then the actual Indian subcontinent. So as part of that, there was a line of comics. They essentially were tales of the Indian pantheon, you know, so all the stories of Han and Rama and, you know, sort of the great mythologies of the Hindu faith. And those were comics, too, that we read. So those are also, I think, extremely prominent in my own development as a creative thinker.
At the age of 14, your family leaves Guyana for Brooklyn.
Yes, what it does.
What did you think was waiting for you in the U.S.?
I had no idea. I mean, it's not entirely true, but the notion of living here was intimidating. I think you take some retreat in that childhood immortality and resilience. You know, you just figure it's all going to be okay. You don't sort of know enough to be as scared as you should. I don't know if I could have done as well as an adult, but waking up the first day and going to school in Brooklyn, which is vastly different from Georgetown, Guyana. I think my first day in Brooklyn, and this is Brooklyn in the 80s. This is during the heights of the crack era. Very, very tough, intense place. You know, I think three kids on a bus jumped me my first day in school in Brooklyn. So there's a lot of getting used to.
One of the first friends you made was a kid named Ron. And
yeah.
And you bonded over comics. How did that happen?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Ron and about three other kids lived on the block that we did. And, you know, I just sort of invited myself one day into their company. You know, after spending a few days looking at them longingly playing basketball, just sort of did a hesitant, can I play too? You know, and again, you're self-conscious about so many things as a young immigrant. You know, your accent is different. People say you talk funny, you know, so you're a little hesitant to talk, to interact. But they were extremely welcome. Of me. And it had a lot to do because Brooklyn was, at least that part, Flatbush, was such a base for Caribbean migrants at the time. And it was only a few days into our new fellowship where Ron invited me to come to his basement and, you know, check out these hidden goodies. And that just really cemented what was really my first formative friendship as a newly arrived Brooklynite.
You've said that Marvel made you feel at home in America. How?
Yeah. in a couple of ways. One, that there were kids like Ron who spoke this common vocabulary, you know, for whom a Wolverine or a Colossus was just as seminal a figure for them as it was for me. And secondly, I'd say, was the larger sense that the notion of being or feeling like you are on the margins of society wasn't specific to myself in my Caribbean South American life. You know, that was very much part and parcel to the American social experiment as well.
You have a whole nother life in music, and I'm curious, in the mid-1980s, when you arrive in Brooklyn, what sort of music were you listening to then?
I was listening to hip-hop, and more hip-hop.
Okay, chillin', minding my business. Right. Your souls, I looked around, and I couldn't believe this. I swear, I stand, my niece, my witness. The brother had it going on with something kind of wicked.
Salt and Pepper, Public Enemy, Big Daddy Kane, Dougie Fresh. So all of that stuff was percolating in the neighborhood as well. So I also dove right into that energy. It was just an amazing time to be a kid that age.
Well, you eventually became a hip hop critic and editor.
I sure did.
Editor of The Source. What's the link between hip hop and comic books in your own life?
I often say, you know, there's very little difference between the Wu-Tang Clan and the Justice League. You know, both forms are based on this notion of larger-than-life characters. Both forms are based on this notion of deep mythology, the idea of having secret identities or just multiple identities that let you walk through different facets of life. And also, I think even, you know, more specifically to Marvel, not that DC doesn't play into this equation as well, I think hip-hop and a lot of kids in my generation specifically identified with Marvel because of that sense of, you know, being the scrappy kid on the margins, being the kid that's trying to knock on the door to the greater house and get attention. So that sort of upstart, marginalized energy, you know, felt common to both. And, you know, it was just fun, you know.
You've gone so far as to call comics the DNA of rap.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of it. Yes, definitely a substantive part of it.
Give me an example of that.
Specific to rappers, I think of a certain generation, those of us who are kids in the 70s and 80s, you know, references and metaphors and analogies about comics, you'll find a surprising amount of that peppering people's lyrics. You've got a rapper called David Banner, you know, that's a sort of tribute to Bruce Banner, you know, and the Hulk.
Double Bear, I'm hard to scare, I'm what they fear. A black planet.
You know, there are all sorts of ways, both subtle and more, you know, overt, that people have wrapped themselves around hip hop.
You've done so many things, and I'm wondering what you're up to now and whether Stan Lee and his superheroes pop up in your work these days.
Stan Lee and his superheroes do pop up in my work today. I have done a lot. I kind of capture it all under the rubric of I'm just a storyteller. And I've been fortunate over my life to be able to tell stories in different mediums and different platforms. And right now, my platform of choice is film and scripted and TV. And as part of my film work, I've recently been able to work in the comic book space or in characters derived and coming out of comic books. Right now, I'm writing a movie for Legendary, a big studio that's based on a comic book called Prince of Cats. It's not a mainstream superhero, you know, comic book, but it's a amazing kind of prequel of Romeo and Juliet that's set in the Brooklyn of the 80s where I grew up, so a bit of an alternate world. And I am also, I can't break the news here, but I also just got a job to write a big DC movie on a really big DC character. But comic books are amongst the main sort of creative drivers in Hollywood right now, and growing up the way I did, I feel like it's trained me for this mission in this moment.
We want to end this segment with some music, maybe something that gets at where you see the footprint of comic books and maybe even Stan Lee in rap. Mm-hmm. What selection we might play going out?
Do you have, let's see, let's do Protect Your Neck by Wu-Tang Clan. Wu-Tang Clan is the Justice League. Wu-Tang Clan is the X-Men, Super Friends, a crazy collection of characters with different superpowers who come together for a greater mission. You know, I think they're the most sort of, you know, endemic representation of hip hop, you know, sort of slash comics.
Swinging through your town like your neighborhood Spider-Man, so all tick-tock and keep ticking. Well, I get you flipping off the shit I'm kicking.
Selwyn Sayfu Hines is a screenwriter and comic book scribe. He's the writer and co-creator of the book series Dominique Laveau, Voodoo Child. Thanks a lot, Selwyn.
You're so welcome. Have a great one.
the rebel. I make more noise than heavy metal.
The way I make the crowd go wild. Sit back, relax, won't smile. Ray got it going on, pal. Call
You're tuned to the world.
Rhymes rugged and built like Schwarzenegger. And I'ma get mad deep like a threat.